If Southern Belle Scarlett O'Hara was a Hellcat in Gone with the Wind, her sister-in-law Melanie was an angel.
No war can come into our world, Ashley. Whatever comes, I'll love you just as I do now, until I die.
Actress Olivia de Havilland is the last surviving star of the most popular film of all time. She retired from showbiz decades ago. Apparently, she felt that 49 films, 2 Best Actress Oscars, and a best-selling memoir were accomplishment enough for one career. Well, today in Paris, de Havilland celebrates her 100th birthday, and our critic Bob Mondello says she's got a lot to celebrate.
She was a sweet Hermia in Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream, a sweet ingenue in a slew of forgettable comedies, and then someone had the bright idea of casting her opposite Errol Flynn. He was a swashbuckler, and standing opposite him, Olivia de Havilland got feisty. In 8 pictures altogether, including the one that made her a star, The Adventures of Robin Hood, where she played Maid Marian.
May I serve you, my lady?
I'm afraid the company has spoiled my appetite.
Ah, misfortune. Now mine... is excellent.
De Havilland looked like she'd stepped out of a storybook, but also gave the character intelligence and dignity. That clicked with audiences, but did her no good at all with the brothers Warner, who kept casting her as ditzes. Happily, a rival studio asked if it could borrow her as a foil for their ditz, Vivian Leigh, who'd just been cast as vain, self-centered Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind. Leigh would flutter, they figured, and De Havilland's down-to-earth Melanie would anchor the story. And she did.
Melanie Hamilton, what a surprise to run into you here. I hope you're going to stay with us a few days at least.
I hope I shall stay longer enough for us to become real friends, Scarlett. I do so want us to be.
We'll keep her here, won't we, Scarlett?
Oh, we'll just have to make a biggest fuss over her, won't we, Ashley? And if there's anybody who knows how to give a girl a good time, it's Ashley. Though I expect our good time to seem terribly silly to you because you're so serious.
Oh, Scarlett, you have so much life. I've always admired you so. I wish I could be more like you.
Melanie believed the best about everyone, and de Havilland made her belief credible by grounding the character with generosity, humility, self-sacrifice, all the qualities Scarlett lacked.
Ladies, the Confederacy asks for your jewelry on behalf of our noble cause.
We aren't wearing any. We're in mourning.
Just a moment, please.
But is your wedding ring meant?
It may help my husband more. Off my finger.
No one could have been more saintly. Off-screen, though, de Havilland was now able to be more assertive. Having proven she could do substantial roles, she started turning down sweet young thing parts, and Warner Brothers responded by placing her on a 6-month suspension. She sued, and not only won, but got a landmark judgment, known as the de Havilland decision, that limited the terms studios could impose on actors. The victory came at a price. She didn't make a film for 3 years, but when she finally did, she won her first Oscar as an unwed mother forced to give up her child in To Each His Own.
If the people of this town so much as suspect he's yours, that little fellow's life won't be worth living.
I can't give him up.
You've got to.
No!
Oscar voters seemed to like the suffering de Havilland. She followed up that win with back-to-back Best Actress nominations for having a mental breakdown in the snake pit.
Oh, I don't know why.
And a romantic breakdown in The Heiress.
He must come. He must take me away. He must love me.
She won a 2nd Best Actress Oscar for The Heiress, but by Hollywood standards, she was now an old lady of 33. Roles came less frequently back then to actresses as they approached their 40s, and when de Havilland complicated the equation by moving to France and turning down the part of Blanche DuBois in A Streetcar Named Desire, her star wattage began to dim. Not that she disappeared. Television beckoned with some of those meaty roles she'd wanted, and when Joan Crawford fell ill and had to drop out of Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte, de Havilland got to torment Betty Davis in what turned out to be the plummiest of plum old lady roles.
You are fine. Father always favoring you and holding you up as an example. Why wouldn't I tell him that his pure, darling little girl was having a dirty little affair with a married man?
These two played dueling cousins here, but 60s audiences, primed by gossip columnists, thought they saw glimmers of a real-life relative when de Havilland's eyes flashed daggers. She and her baby sister, Joan Fontaine, had supposedly been feuding since childhood, a notion nurtured by studio publicists. Fontaine won an Oscar first and married first and once quipped, If I die first, she'll undoubtedly be livid because I beat her to it. They both claimed publicly there wasn't an actual feud, though Fontaine kept the pot boiling with anecdotes in her autobiography and with catty replies when interviewers brought up childhood spats.
Breaking your collarbone was certainly...
That was an accident. I'm sure it wasn't entirely intentional.
De Havilland did not take the bait, then or ever. She smiled sweetly when the subject of her sister came up and took her cues from... Well, from Melanie, more or less. Scarlett, after all, had been just awful to her. And what did she say?
Oh, Scarlett, darling, you've been so good to me. No sister could have been sweeter.
No sister, indeed. De Havilland was 22 when she said that line, still learning about life as her character was giving up the ghost. She was the only star to die in Gone with the Wind, so perhaps it's fitting that she should be the star who gets to shine on in seeming perpetuity, a storied figure from Hollywood's golden age. I'm Bob Mondello.